You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
It's Mail It In Friday. I think the guys are here.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
This is going to be a fun afternoon. We got a lot of things on the docket. Brian Dawkins is coming up, Football Hall of Famer at 4:30.
Nice.
Lawrence Guy, O-lineman for the New England Patriots. It's Pats, Chiefs, Sunday night. Just ask Bill Belichick how he feels about that. That's coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. Ray, Austin Matthews superfan, who was in attendance in Detroit last night.
Yes.
The Leafs continue to...
His agent.
Austin Matthews' agent. And Matthews had two again last night. Tavares had four assists. Morgan Rielly racks up a couple of points. Yep. They got the four highest point getters in the league. Morgan Riley's breaking Bobby Orr's record.
Yeah.
Mo Orr.
It is good times.
Everything is coming up Maple Leafs right now.
Enjoy it.
We were talking about this before we came on. Listen, at some point, you know, reality is going to check in a little bit here, and it's a ebbs and flows kind of sport, right? I mean, there's an 82-game grind. But if you're a Leaf fan and you can't enjoy it now, what have you been doing the past decade? Like, this is as fun as it's going to get. It's points night every single night.
Yeah, the Joe from the Bridges out there have water cooler material where they can just have fun all day long.
Yeah, I was
realistic. Let's check in 20 games, 30 games. American Thanksgiving, as most people want to do, but right
I
want to
check in after the next 7 games. Because almost treat this like a 7-game series. Because you've got some, now you've got, the next 6 are against playoff teams. And you got Winnipeg twice. And LA got swept, but they did make the playoffs. So they would probably be the lesser on the bottom spectrum. But you've got, you're going to have an angry Washington that got rinsed last night. So that's going to be a tough matchup. But it's a good measuring stick for where the Leafs are at. And people are going to use the Leafs as measuring sticks too. So I think this is exciting because, you know, you're 4-1. And you probably should. I mean, you're 4-1. You'll take that every day of the week, anyways. But what are you in the next 7? If you're 4-3, you've won the series. If you're, you know, I would treat it something like that.
You could tell Babcock's doing that. He's all about the 5-game segments, and you got to get 6 points. And if you play 600 all year, you're in the playoffs.
Oh, and right? They're going to be Babcock, a playoff team, but it's...
Yeah, of course they are, or, you know, unless all hell breaks loose. Yeah, but at this point, based on what we've seen and what we know,
but
they're the team that, regardless of who they've been playing, because of the amount of chatter that has surrounded them, and because of the way they've started with the big boys, with Matthews and Tavares and Marner and even Rielly being a part of that, I think the whole league is well aware of it. And, like, Washington's going to be a fun game tomorrow night because that team can turn it on a dime as well. You know, it could be a 7-5 game tomorrow night.
The Leafs, as good as they've been with the point production and the guys leading the league in scoring, they are not the New Jersey Devils in their own end. Like, they played Detroit last night, and some of the defensive errors are just...
Well, in the third period, I thought they dominated
the
first 40.
You could see them the whole game.
No, the first 40, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. Detroit wasn't even.
I get it, but they're doing things in their own end where you play a high end team. They're going to make you pay.
That's fun,
but that's early on, and that's habits. You're right. Oh, there were some decision making, but you're playing against a looser team that you know. I thought the Leafs were the better team the whole night. There were some nice plays by Detroit. You know, a couple nice saves here and there. You know, Jensen jumps in, gets a couple goals, and what happens when the game gets looser and you know you can score? There is some missed assignments here and there, but that's where I my focus would be. Hey, bask this, and then look at the next batch of games and go, hey, where are we? You know, if we're one of the big boys, here's some big boys too. Let's see how we match
tomorrow
up
night,
and how things go. And you know, Jersey doesn't own the cup today because they rinsed Washington last night. But Washington is a team that not only won the cup last year, but for many years has been a top-tier team. And, you know, they won back-to-back President's Trophies. Am I right with that? Yeah. So they've been right at the top of the standings. So if the Leafs are and want to be there. Like, these are good tests early on to say, okay, maybe if we're a little loose in this area, this is where we got exposed, or this is where a guy like Odogunov, if he gets in, let's see how he measures up. Like,
I will say that all the nice plays last night, my favorite play, like as a guy that enjoys the skill play, that Tavares little pass.
The touch. I thought it was
inside
amazing.
Inside the blue line. That was amazing.
That was my favorite play as well, too, because it was just a nice little touch right, and both Detroit players stepped up into him, but he just touched it through traffic, and then
they're
off to the races.
That's good stuff.
Well, there's been a lot of that early in the season from a bunch of different spots. Like, did you see that Pasternak goal last night?
That was gross.
Oof. If you haven't seen it, find it, because there's a good chance the goal of the year has already been had. Like, it may have been last night. We may not
see
a pretty
goal. He was on that 1v1 with that junior kid that put it between. I didn't see the results, but if he didn't win that, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it should be Pasternak versus Pasternak. Like, that's what it should be. Just play it twice.
It was a ridiculous play.
And, like, McDavid made Chara look like...
Well, and Bergeron.
Everybody. Like, he was flying last night. Yeah. And I got to be honest, I am worried about the Oilers. I am concerned. I know, but we talked about this yesterday. Look at their schedule.
Yeah, that's...
They're in New York on Saturday. That's a gettable game.
Yeah.
But then they go to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And then they're at home. They're four games at home. Boston, Nashville, Washington, Pittsburgh, and then back to back on the road, Nashville, Chicago.
And
that's how they start their season.
And if you look early in November, they go back out east.
If you take a wall squat and deuce that, you're done.
If they're 2-8 in the first 10, it's over.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, in reality, it's over. And it's not about, hey, we're goofing on the Oilers. That's just the way the league works.
Yeah,
if you start that far behind the eight ball, now in their division, you know, it hasn't necessarily been the hottest start for everybody. Anaheim's been off to a pretty good start. L.A., you know, you got to give credit to that Jack Campbell kid. He's played well, but without Quick, eventually that'll hurt. But the Golden Knights look like an expansion team all of a sudden. They're 1-4.
I think they've come back. You're right. I think the division could sort it out, but you know that only three from that division, because five potentially. Now, I'm not convinced that St. Louis is where they need to be, even though they did beat Calgary last night. I still think, but you're right. Looking at schedule, I was going over that last night too. Is it's not only tough games, but their travel, how things have been spaced out. They looked choppy yesterday. They didn't look like into a groove. Like, the Leafs look like they're comfortable because they've played a bunch of games and they know exactly where guys like. The Oilers have played too. They don't look like they know where anybody is on the ice. They looked not good.
Well,
and McDavid looked good, but he got neutralized too, though.
Yeah, well, because that's what people realize you got to do with him with that team. You know,
well,
like
it's
on Dreisaitl. He's got to start driving the line. And, like, he's got to start dominating. $8.5 million. That kid's got to get going.
But I will say, if you take your pick of the Toronto Maple Leafs line, if that Boston Bruins line isn't the best line in the league, it's right there.
No, for sure.
They won. And it was, that team is legit. Boston's legit. I did them live the other day, and, you know, I think Toronto's right there, Washington's right there. Like, but Boston is a serious team. Like,
they proved that last year. I mean, second half last year, they were the best team in the league.
I thought there'd be a little dip. One of these teams, I thought there was going to be a little bit of a dip. Maybe it's Tampa. I don't know. Tampa will be fine, but Vancouver goes in. But that's why, I mean, early on, Tampa hasn't played. They looked like they were rusty.
It kind of feels like the Atlantic Division, much like last season, is going to mimic the American League East, where you're going to have the Sox, the Yankees, and then, and Tampa, listen, the Rays had a good year. They had a very good year. But more so the American League, I guess I should say, where there's four or five teams and then everybody else. Because you look at Detroit, Kadri was speaking with the media last night, and I think he hit the nail on the head, because I was thinking it while I was watching it. I'm like, that's the Leafs from like 3 or 4 years ago, where they get some good pieces, but they need a couple of stars. They don't have it. Ottawa, I don't think, has a star. I don't think Montreal
Detroit
has a star outside of Price.
They're going to continue year after year, and you're thinking, okay, Larkin's good, Athanasiou's good, but year after, like I said to Pooley last night during the break, I'm like, it would be frustrating being a fan of this team, because they're young, they got some young players, but Larkin and Athanasiou year after year, they're not going to like take it to a different level.
They need to, they need Jack Hughes. Well, you know, like that's what they need. They need the equivalent of Austin
they're
Matthews.
They're like good players. Or, they make good
need,
plays.
But you also need, you need other your players like Mantha and guys like that. Like they've, I think Detroit's will be fine, but it's a 4 or 5 year project. This is a team that was a perennial, like 26 years.
Yeah,
like. You know, I think
you knew this was coming eventually,
exactly.
But. Like,
and it was put on pause because of Zetterberg and Datsyuk and Lidstrom. They probably should have done it 8 years ago.
Well, Babcock knew what was up. Like Babcock knew, I got to get out of here. Like this team is going in the opposite direction.
He bailed at the right time.
You know, Buffalo got smoked again last night. I saw Phil Housley come out with a this is a good lesson line. Like.
Good lesson.
People in Buffalo are freaking out because they're like, didn't they learn that last year when they finished dead last? Like, why are you still learning lessons?
I'm not the hyperbole. Like the, I'm not too worried about 3 games in on teams. Like, I want to give me a month, and then you start to look at, okay, this team hasn't settled in. This guy hasn't done that.
But you look at teams, Jamie. I know it's early, but you look and say, are you going to settle in?
Well, based on
Buffalo is a better team than people think.
They might be. Like, they might be. But based on your preseason predictions, it's not like, did anyone have Detroit? No, Detroit isn't surprising anybody.
No,
this is what I thought they were. Not a very good team. Ottawa's not a very good team.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Rangers aren't very good.
And it is early, but I thought Buffalo, and like I said, it's overreaction 1 week in. But you would be thinking... We would be saying, "Wow, they look really good." I mean, they're winning games. They're not doing this. That's like,
well, I'm picking apart one.
Like sometimes an early start, a hot start, kind of tells you something early on where you're like, "Okay, maybe this is." But Buffalo, you're thinking, "Okay, give me something." Like, I didn't expect that.
Well, they're 2-2. It's not like they're 0-4.
No, I know.
Pretty good in their wins.
Again, I'm pointing to the Housley comment. You guys are taking it every different. Wouldn't you think a coach? Your team finished dead last year. And you're already, I'm just saying, in Buffalo, they're freaking out. I was watching this, tracking it on Twitter, where people are like, really? You're giving us the, hey, this is a good lesson line. You can't take a night off. You didn't learn that last year when you were dead last in the league. Why are you already learning that lesson? You know, like, you got to grow, and maybe they will. And 2-2 is probably better than the way they started last year. No question.
Yeah, but, I think they'll take that. But, you know, Darlene... They've got some young pieces there that I think they're going to be able to build around. Like,
oh, no question. Eichel and Darlene.
And ultimately, too, I don't think this is their year to push through, but I think they're a better team. And, you know, it'll be – those are teams that I circle and say I think that they're on the cusp of turning it around. Buffalo was one of them. I thought they had a real nice summer.
I agree with you. I think a lot better than they've had in the past.
Skinner – like
Darlene, rolling into Darlene alone is massive for you, but
then shaping the team around, like they got some really good pieces there. Shiri, Skinner, like they got some guys who can put the puck in the net. Now, can they defend? Can they stop pucks? Like that's up to the coach. That's up to the goalie. Like that's a million-dollar question throughout the league right now. I mean, Colorado put up a 6 spot. New Jersey put up a 6 spot on Wash. You know, the Leafs are averaging 5 goals a game. You know, they're averaging 5 goals a game, but they're only +5 differential, too, the Leafs. So they're giving up still. I felt bad for Freddie, like that greasy one that slid through and just went over the line. Those are ones that are just save percentage killers. The game, I didn't think the game was in any danger yesterday.
No.
Got to 4-3, but I didn't think it was
no, they weren't going to lose that game. And you knew it was just a matter of time before they got an opportunity. Like, the way they're so hot right now, the Leafs are just anything the big guys touch, it's
it goes in.
Going in. I mean, and at some point they're going to need, you know, depth players to chip in a little bit.
Yeah, the bottom of your lineup could get going a little bit on the scoreboard, but it's tough to, because when power play goes, they go and score. When 5-on-5, I mean, they create some chances, get a power play, then they score.
Like, right. And if you have the lead, which they haven't actually had the lead much to start games. Like, they've given up the first goal a lot this season, but once you get the lead, you know Babcock is telling the guys at the lower end, like, no cheating.
Smart.
Don't jump the zone. You know, like, so there's only so much those guys are really going to be asked to contribute anyway at this point.
today might be a good day for an early edition of bringing back a legend of a segment called Level of Concern.
Ooh.
What do you think, Hazy? We like do Level of Concern, go through the NHL, maybe some different NFL teams.
Yes.
And we do Level of Concern.
I like it.
Can you just throw in, like, basketball, like Raptors? Are you concerned about them at all?
No, I feel real good about the Raptors.
Save it.
Okay.
Why look good?
Save it for the air.
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
Probably still got the Sting moles. Oh, yeah.
We'll bring that back for sure. Because there's a lot of different material.
Oilers, Sabres.
How about the New York Giants? How about Odell Beckham Jr.?
What is the max that we used to have? Like a 24-pack?
I think it was like you have to sneak into Quebec and go to their Costco because they sell like 60 packs of beers.
No, but my buddy bought a 70-pack of Old Milwaukee the other day.
For $22.
Like they pay you.
It's a 71-pack.
Old Milwaukee pays
you. He bought a 71-pack of Busch Light or something.
It's probably 72, but he drank one on the way out of the... out of the building.
Yeah, and then got a refund for it. I need that 10 cents.
No, a 77-pack of Natty Lights.
Just a handle, though. I would
go. The Haste Man bought a 77-pack of Natty Lights.
Natty Light.
I've never even had a Natty.
I don't think I have either. I'm very basic when it comes to drinking beer.
What is Natty? National?
It's natural.
Natural Light. It's very natural.
I've seen it. Is it like an Ontario beer?
No.
I have no idea. That sounds like something you get in the States.
77-pack of Natty Lights.
Natural Light has a 77-pack, and it costs less than a box of Pro V1s.
Can you imagine? Give me the 77-pack of Natties?
Mm-hmm.
But the highest level of concern was our guy Nick Cage.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was the limit. Okay, we'll refresh everybody's memory. We'll get into that.
It's coming back.
It'll
level
come back.
Of concern.
Okay, great.
That's a good one.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins will join us. The Eagles, his Eagles, with a big win last night. But no one's even talking about the Eagles. It's all about how Eli Manning is a disaster.
By the way, wasn't he like a miserable bastard out there?
Dawkins? Oh, like one of the toughest secondary players of all time. Like just God, a torpedo crushing people.
Just miserable.
He was mean, and he was so Philly. Like, it was just, he was this Philly great, in a nutshell. He was with those Andy Reid teams and McNabb and all-time great safety and secondary player. So we'll catch up with Brian Dawkins. We'll get his take on Odell Beckham Jr. I can't even get a read on Beckham Jr. Like, I know his talent, and I know he's frustrated because Eli Manning, he's brutal, and that offensive line is a joke. Again, the Joe Plisarchuk theorem. Like, it's the same kind of thing we've been seeing for years out of the Giants.
Should we try and get our guy on next
we
week?
We do. We have to have him.
We should. They're 1-4.
Don LaGreca?
Don LaGreca. We should get him back on. With the Giants.
The Joe Plisarchuk theorem. You're dead.
1-4. The O-line sucks.
What would he
Eli
be
blows.
Today? What would, like, do you think that...
Oh, he's going postal.
Don LaGreca would just be melting down
yes.
on it? Or is it done? Like, is he...
No.
Is he, like, defeated?
They're having a tough time in New York because the Giants are brutal.
Yeah.
The Yankees, they just lost to the Red Sox and badly.
Yeah.
Gregorius just underwent Tommy John, and he's out for, like, all of next season.
Ugh.
Severino, I was reading a piece today, he was caught, like, tipping pitches during the ALCS, so people are all about what his situation is. The Knicks are going to be terrible. The Rangers are brutal.
They're in a rebuild,
like, there's nothing in New York. There is nothing. The Mets suck. The Jets
are
bad.
The Mets, are they any good?
No, everyone sucks in New York. It's
Monday
great.
Pre-tape with Donnie LaGreca.
I think we might have to do that. Pro Football Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins in 10 minutes. I guess I got a little bit carried away. I was ranting about New York and essentially basking in the fact that their sports scene is a joke right now. And a couple people tweeting and texting in just asking me to clarify. I think I said the Yankees suck.
Yeah, they...
They don't really suck.
It's tough to say that.
Kind of tough to say that the Yankees suck. So I'll give you that one back. But everything else down there is brutal. Giants, Jets, Mets, Rangers, Islanders.
You shouldn't know that. I thought you were a Yankees fan.
I am, but they just got beat by the Sox. It's depressing.
Yeah, but it wasn't that... That was in the second round, right?
No, like, well, it was the ALDS. I mean, they got through the wild card game. They beat Oakland in the wild card game, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. The Yankees will be fine. Yeah. They won 100 games. They're a good team.
Yeah, you win 100 games, you probably I'll give you should that. Be, give right? them a little bit of love, yeah.
I'll give you that. The NLCS beginning tonight, Dodgers taking on Milwaukee. We'll tee that tee that up a little bit later in the afternoon.
Rattled.
Today. You know what rattled me? I tried to spend some quality time with our guy Mulls tomorrow in Bowmanville. I called him up and I said, there's like an Apple Festival. You want to maybe go?
He doesn't want to go. Why the hell?
You already said to me?
No.
No, I got a guy coming to clean my eaves troughs. I'm like,
no, my ducts, my vents.
Your vents. He's got to get the lint out of the vents.
So what, do you got to supervise that? You can't meet me at the Apple?
Yeah, I got to be there.
Yeah, someone's got to be at the house, I guess.
Come on, dude. It was like a...
Or else this guy's going to suck up.
I thought there could be a beer tent. We could go have a beer or whatever.
At an Apple Picking Festival?
I don't know what it is. I'd never been to Bowmanville, man.
Well... Yeah, why do you want to go to an apple picking?
Yeah,
dude, festival? it's like a fall festival.
Yeah, it's a tiny like little market fall festival type thing. There's no beer tent.
So I wanted to spend some quality time. And he's like, no, I got a guy cleaning.
I'll bet you there's at least one fist fight though. There'll be one fist fight.
There could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bowmanville special. People are ornery in October in Bowmanville.
Just going at it over something. Yeah. In the parking lot. Or
it'll be Matthews versus McDavid. There'll be someone walking around in a Matthews jersey, another one in a McDavid jersey, and they'll just start fighting.
That's hilarious.
Like, that's basically... Like, someone's going to brawl in media. That's what I'm openly advocating for that. I want to see, like, a Toronto media member take on a Edmonton media member, because everyone is just so rattled about everything right now.
Twitter is a violent place right now.
Very violent. It's
like, chill out.
But it has been for the longest time. It's headed in that direction. It's politics have become so divisive. If you know, and sports, there's have always been like that. Sports are divisive. You ever seen that Tosh O joke where he's like, he said he can go on stage and make fun of a city, but if you make fun of their sports team, people will kill you, like will threaten to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was joking about like Cleveland, saying it's like the biggest hole in the world and people are chuckling. He's like, but the Browns suck. And people are like, I will murder you where you stand.
How dare you
and
it's cross
actually,
that line?
It actually rings true.
Yeah.
Because people are so passionate about their sports and maybe not as much about their hometown.
Well, I think they're more honest about the shortcomings of their hometown, you know, but it's sports fans are delusional. You know, like we're all delusional. Everyone's got their own opinion that this is the beauty of sports, and this is why sports radio can exist, is because you get talking heads who yell and scream about their opinions, and then people listening are like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'll tell you why it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And that's where Twitter comes into play, because they can actually get to you and tweet at you or text in or email in or whatever. But anyway, I think in Toronto, people are feeling very good. I think people love what's going on with the Leafs. The Raptors are going to get started in less than a week. They're going to have Cleveland in town opening night Wednesday night. That's a chance to not get revenge because LeBron isn't there anymore. So Cleveland, as we've known it the past 4 years, doesn't exist anymore. Like, if they beat up on the Cavs, it's totally meaningless. It doesn't vindicate anything.
It's
nothing.
To me, Boston.
What is the needle for you if tickets were out there? Cleveland coming into town?
Oh, it's way down on the list. No, it's immediately
kidding.
Way down on the list.
It's just a game where it's like, you want to see an NBA game?
That's right. That's way down the list.
Yeah, you're not seeing... I mean, you pay to see Kevin Love.
Tristan Thompson, maybe Tristan if Chloe Thompson. Shows up. All right, Pro Football Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins in 2 minutes. Big, big win for the Eagles last night. Somewhat predictable. I mean, with all due respect to the Eagles, the Super Bowl champs, they're trying to get back into the rhythm here. Carson Wentz looked good last night.
Good statement game to get back in the fold.
But the Giants are a joke. Oof. The Giants are a full-blown disaster. Eli Manning is a legend in New York, but he looks to be done to me.
Do you
meet.
Feel bad for him?
What do like you, on the some question level? Is, okay, you can feel bad for him, but what do you do with him?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, in... Last year, they benched him, and it ended the streak, and that cost Ben McAdoo his maybe career, quite frankly. It was such a bad ending in New York. But now they go back to him, and they claim that they're still in his corner, but he doesn't look good. The offensive line is really, really ugly. But they got Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham Jr., and they can't win. They can't put up points. I'll tell you, we got a guy on a line here who would love to get after that Giants defense, or offense, I should say. He would love to get after the Giants offense. And he is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. His website is briandawkins.com. He's got a Football Life airing tonight on the NFL Network. These are really, really cool. They're always extremely well done. It airs and debuts tonight at 8 p.m. on the NFL Network. Here he is, longtime Eagle, longtime NFLer, Brian Dawkins. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, how you gentlemen doing?
We're doing well. Is that a true statement? You going up against Eli on that Giants offense, you would just lay a beating on them last night or what?
Oh, that is the team that I always consider to be our rival. I mean, I know everybody in Philadelphia loves to hate on the Dallas Cowboys, which I understand. But, you know, for my time playing there, it was always the Giants. We that was the team that I went back and forth with as far as wins and losses and all those things.
So how do you feel about the legacy of Eli Manning?
Well, I think if you look at just over time, what has happened to Eli is every time that he has had an offensive line that is suspect, he struggled mightily. And so to me, this is a microcosm of that organization not doing what they're supposed to do and taking care of, you know, if their franchise quarterback. And you see it. And that's one of the things you game plan for. You can get him throwing off of his back foot. If you can get any quarterback seeing the rush instead of seeing the coverage and being able to step into throws, they're going to struggle. And you're seeing that from Eli. Like, he can't step into throws. He's worried about the rush. And he's getting pounded. So, like, you can't put it all on Eli. Like, that offensive line have to stand up, to be honest with you, and take up for their quarterback, because a lot of that has to do with them.
Odell Beckham Jr., superstar, obviously. He sat down with ESPN last week, and he was talking a lot of smack about the Giants, and then he walked that back, and reportedly they fined him for it. But last night, his antics on the sideline, Left the team with 2 seconds to go in the half. Now, they claimed he was going back to get an IV, but still, it didn't look that good optically. And then he's yelling at, like, invisible objects on the sideline. I mean, if you're in the room, and I know you were on the opposite side of the ball, but how do you handle teammates that are kind of losing it when the team is not playing that well?
Well, I mean, I'm always someone that loves to talk to guys one-on-one, to pull them to the side, to not put people on front street. So just put them to the side and let them know that, yes, I understand you're frustrated. We're all frustrated in the same boat. But at the same time, as a leader on the football team, as one of the leaders of people that are looking up to, you have to handle yourself differently. Like you can be one of the beacons for the team, bad or good. So if you're going all over the place, that gives younger cats the ability to say, oh yeah, if he's going all crazy, then there's no hope for us. So now that everything begins to tank. So, like, he has to understand that at some point that you love the emotion that he plays with. I really do. Love the emotion. But you have to be able to control it and make it go towards the good of the team and not have people constantly asking your teammates. One thing I never wanted to do is have my teammates have to answer questions about anything that I did on or off the football field. I never wanted them to ask, oh, why do you think Brian did that? Or why do you think it? No, I don't want that. That becomes a distraction, something that they have to worry about or compensate about that takes them away from their jobs and you know, detailing their work. So, again, love the passion, love the energy, but focus it.
With Pro Football Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins.
Brian, how big a response is that for the Eagles last night? It's a big win. There's all talk about Super Bowl hangover, whether you believe that or not. It's just... for the fan base, I know they're passionate fans. They won the Super Bowl last year, but they probably would be a little concerned. It's just a big response for the team, isn't it?
It's a huge response for the team. The way that it was a resounding response. It wasn't, you know, in the past games, they were doing things to hurt themselves. Now, obviously, you have to give the other team credit for taking advantage of mistakes that are made. But when you have that many penalties, when you pass interference, keeping drives alive, giving up big plays, like, you're helping the other team. You're helping the opponent. And so, you know, I know I'm crazy this way. And I love the fact that they lost games early. I love that. I love the fact that they lost a couple of games, in a row. I love that. You know why? Because now you can look at film and you can be, like, brutally honest with dudes. You can really, really see what you're made out of. Are people talking? Are you pointing fingers? Is it somebody else's fault? Are you owning up to the things that you're not doing? So now you can really talk about those things. You can really be kind of circle the wagons a little bit to be able to say, okay, so if people are starting to talk about we can't do it, so now, that can give us our chip. That can give us something to go with. But I love the fact, again, that they lost early to be able to have tough conversations, and now hopefully they'll form they'll form some momentum off of this game here and propel going forward.
You really seem like an intimidating character. You intimidate me just listening to you. You like to be in guys' faces. Was there ever a guy that was in your face that told you that you weren't getting the job done, that you need to be better?
Oh yeah, and that's the thing about it. Like I'm not in your face. I don't like to be handled that way, and I don't like to do other people that way. I don't just call you out to call you out or embarrass you. That's not the way that I do it. I like to talk to you off to the side, or if we're watching film, I'll ask the coach to rewind that, and then I'll point out, hey man, hey, we can't do that. You have to set the edge here. See, all of us running from the inside out. When you do that, it hurts us. So like, and they have the same right, and I would say that you have the same right to do that to me. So right. So then my job now is to understand it. If I've given them permission to do that, and if I'm telling them to do something, I better well be doing things on the utmost to not have people call me out. Now, early on, yeah, I was called out. Willie T used to call me out about stuff, not because I was a rookie making mistakes. Troy Vincent used to get on me about making mistakes because I would actually get him beat over the top when I was to bite on something underneath. So, yeah, you know, there's individuals that would hold you accountable. And that's the thing about it. It's about accountability. That's what it's about. You have to be held accountable in any walk of life. That's not just a football thing. That's in a walk of life, man to man. If you're trying to be a better man, we'll talk about that a little later. Like, you have to have people in your life that are willing to have tough conversations with you so you can be a better man.
The website is briandawkins.com, where you can find details on the Brian Dawkins Increase Foundation and a bunch of ventures that Brian is involved in. A Football Life airs, debuts tonight at 8 p.m. on NFL Network. It's Brian's A Football Life. And this Sunday, we got a massive game in the NFL. Andy Reid and the Chiefs in New England taking on the Pats. I can't picture Andy Reid getting in anybody's face and freaking out and snapping. I mean, he seems like the coolest, laid-back, nicest guy who always wins. You were a big, big part of that Eagles dynasty in the early 2000s. What's Andy Reid really like?
Well, you got to remember, Andy Reid he's an offensive lineman. Like, he will forever be an offensive lineman. I know he can't play anymore, but that's in his mind. So offensive linemen are used to getting after people. Like, they have tough conversations. So Andy is someone he's a great communicator, but if you need to be, you know, chewed out a little bit, yeah, Andy's not afraid of chewing you out now. Like, that's something that I have witnessed myself, you know, him getting on somebody or calling somebody or telling somebody to get out of practice because they're not practicing the way that he deems to be fit. So, no, Andy will get after you. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure that he doesn't have to do that with a team that's 5-0 right now. They understand, you know, they understand what he desires as a head coach, the offense is rolling, the defense is playing well. But at the same time, if anything kind of goes awry, like, he's not going to panic. That's not him. He does a great job of not panicking. But at the same time, like, he'll have the conversation he needs to have, and as stern as they need to be to get his point across.
With Brian Dawkins, so you're doing a lot post career. We know you're in the Hall of Fame. You're doing analyst work, but keynote speaking, speaking engagements. You're involved in a lot of different activities. The Better Man Challenge, which begins today. Tell us about that and what else is going on with you.
Yeah, and so the analyst work, that's a thing of the past. I'm no longer executive for the Philadelphia Eagles. That is a thing of the past for right now because my heart has been changed. My heart has been all the energy and the juice and all of the fire that I had to play the game of football, to talk about the game of football. I still love it. But my focus and my heart now is to bless men with increase. It's to bless men. It's to bless them mentally, spiritually, and physically, and basically help them, not just men, but, like, that's where the Better Man Challenge comes in, is, like, there's too many, in my opinion, there's too many people that are living a life and just living it. Whatever comes, comes. If change happens, it happens. They're not in charge of the change. They don't, whatever happens, they'll just accept it and try to deal. No, I don't believe you have to live life that way. Obviously, there are going to be things that didn't happen in your life that you can't help, that you didn't have control of. But the things that I try my best to always consider, gentlemen, is three things, three aspects: my attitude, my actions, and my reactions. I have control over those, right? So if my attitude is in such a way that I want to learn, that I want to get better at something, that I don't want to stay stagnant in an area, then I'm going to continue to increase and grow. And when I increase and grow, I have the chance to be a better individual. And then my job, whatever it is that I'm doing, I'll actually do better at that, because my actions are leading my bosses and individuals watching me to say that, you know what, we might need to give that person a little bit more responsibility because of how they're handling themselves. And then my reaction, if something didn't happen that I didn't have anything, any control over, my reaction is such that it is a problem finding reaction. Like, there is a problem. Now let's work on a solution. How can I be a part of the solution? I want to be a solution to the problem that was just presented. So if I'm carrying myself in those ways, then I won't stay stagnant. Stagnant means to me is when you begin to settle in one place too long. I don't believe you're ever supposed to settle in one place too long in your life. Anytime you have a body of water that if a fresh rain comes and the body of water stays stagnant over a time period, what happens to it? It begins to get fungus and begins to stink, right? I believe that same thing happens to us in life. And we begin to settle for stuff too long. Obviously, like I said, something may happen that you may have to settle for a time period. But in that time period, I'm still thinking about my attitude, my action, and my reaction. So I'm still trying to learn, how can I get up out of where I am to be a better individual overall? Now, if I'm thinking like that, gentlemen, if I'm thinking on those terms that it's actually possible to do that, then I'm being a better father. I'm being a better husband. I'm being a better employer, employee. All those things come from changing your mindset. And so that's what I want to try to bless men with now. It's helping men change their mindset. I call it stinking thinking, to get up off of stinking thinking, to not allow that stinking thinking to keep you to settle for life. I don't believe in settling for life. I don't believe in settling for life. I believe in living life on purpose. And that's what I'm trying to help guys wake up to.
The Better Man Challenge, again, beginning today. You can find more details, BrianDawkins.com. Brian's A Football Life airs at 8 p.m. on the NFL Network this evening. We're looking forward to that and seeing how all this plays out. Really appreciate you taking time for us today. Thank you, Brian.
No, thank you for having me.
There's Brian Dawkins.
Excellent.
Pretty inspiring guy.
Stinking thinking. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a saying on our show somehow.
We'll mix that in somehow.
Whenever you're in a bad mood, I'm going to say, you got to get away from stinking thinking.
That's going to come up a lot, though.
Say the Leafs lose two in a row or something. Knock it off with that stinking thinking.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. People in Edmonton today,
yeah,
knock it off.
They're stinking thinking right now.
They're stinking thinking.
Giants fans,
stinking thinking.
Stinking thinking.
Stop it. Okay, don't do it anymore.
I like it,
man. Well, this guy, like, one of the all-time great safeties. Great Eagle.
Wow. Very well spoken.
He worked with ESPN. I mean, he's got a lot of different things on the go.
So great job by Al, though, by the way, on the bio. You listed the bio, and he said, I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. And I don't do this anymore. I just do stinking thinking.
That's cool. That was more on me than Al, I think. I went off script.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'll take an analyst for the Eagle. No, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Stinking.
So thinking. You were at the
Al was stinking thinking.
You were at
so what
the,
was it like at the Ryder Cup? That's what I should have asked him.
Do we have that?
What was it like being at the Ryder Cup?
Was that guy's name Sean Foley?
Sean Foley. Yeah. Actually, I'm Canadian. I wasn't even there. Yeah. Oh, okay. Good start.
You were there. Like, you got the energy of the Ryder Cup. What did you think about it? He's like, I wasn't even there.
That's fake news.
I'm Canadian.
I have no idea. Like, if you're Canadian, you can't go to the Ryder Cup? I don't know. Anyway.
That was awesome.
Thanks again to Brian Dawkins. Yeah. Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. We've got a ridiculous poll question that we're going to update here momentarily. And what else are we bringing back today?
Level of concern.
All right, Ray's coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll tee up the championship series in baseball as well around 5:30. We're bringing back Level of Concern. Got a ridiculous Friday poll question, which is really causing a big stir online.
Is it? I didn't even check your mansion.
Not really.
It's show from the bridge.
It's a hypothetical.
I actually told Brian to put all of the above on the bottom one. He didn't do it, though. I don't think it was gutless that you didn't do it.
Yeah, I should have done that.
He was
but then,
thinking.
I was stinking thinking at that point. I might be able to adjust on the fly.
Should adjust it and put all of the above, if that's possible.
Okay. We'll see if we can do that. We'll tell you about that at 5. And we've got some IR news, TSN Radio, injury-related news. It's really shocking stuff.
Early in the season, we've got an injury already.
We've got an injury problem
around
the station.
You can't be critical of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how this happened to this particular person, but yours was worse.
I understand that. Mine was pathetic. I blew my knee out by simply standing up off the floor.
I had back surgery a couple of years, what was it, a year and a half ago? But I mean, I fought through that.
Yeah, you came into work, yeah, although you missed a week after surgery. I did, too. I came in after
you missed
I blew
10
out
days.
The knee.
Yeah.
I missed. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Circle back
we'll get to it in the next hour, all right?
Never leave home without it,
yes,
too.
And we're going to revisit Noodle's pitch for MyPillow. It was perfect.
It was the go anywhere pillow.
All right. We'll get into all that, okay? We're just
they're firing us.
Chewing our tongues off today. It's Overdrive Friday. Continues on the TSN app.